guys, I'm actually here for once.
Where have you been? You are way past your curfew, mister.
No, seriously, tell me, where have you been?
Raising my daughter.
No! They are not your family! We're your family! We were here first!
We were worried sick about you!
But hi, Lane. Raven.
Hi, Gar. But Lane, Danny and Anna are part of Cast Ranger.
Kill the roll call!
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Webcaster, Joe Raven.
Equipment Wielder, Bluecaster, Cheetah Zazil.
Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Lane.
Explorer from the Unknown, Yellowcaster, Auto Guard.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Wow, Lane. I didn't expect you to go all Vin Diesel from Fast and Furious on Raven's ass.
We'll always be together. And you'll always be together.
It doesn't help that our swords are... It doesn't help that we have vehicle swords.
Hey, Fast and the Furious is a really great series. Except for the newest one. Newest one's a shit.
Yeah, every time me and Gar go to Walmart, I'm just like, hey, look, it's Fate and the Furious! And he destroys the display, and they have to put it out every single time.
Eventually.
But The Rock. And Jason Statham.
They're the best part of that movie.
Yeah,
he was going to beat his head like a Cherokee drum.
The Rock is so prevalent in those movies that eventually the vehicles will just drive over The Rock, and then the movies will become slow and painful.
But then my co-worker said the funniest thing. Fast and the Furious meets Transformers.
No.
That would be the greatest thing.
No. Son of a bitch!
My question. Why hasn't Michael Bay done that already?
I really fucking hate myself because I kind of want to see that.
It'd be funny.
Vin Diesel with Bumblebee.
All right,
fuck it. Vin Diesel will wear Bumblebee's armor.
It's better than John Cena being in the Bumblebee standalone movie coming out next year.
Is that real?
Because he was an American soldier before he was a wrestler. Therefore, it makes sense he's in the World War II movie as a soldier.
No.
I guess John Cena was right because I.
80s.
Oh.
I guess John Cena was right because I won't
Bumblebee
see it.
Was fighting Nazis. He did.
Yes, he did.
Then why is it the 80s?
Because it's set in, 1980s and how his memory got fried. Also, Prowl and Cliff Jumper are going to be in the movie.
Also, okay. We get to see Bumblebee as a beetle.
Yeah, he will be a beetle in the movie.
He'll be a Zector?
Not everything has to be related to Tokyo.
So we're not going to see him as a 19...
But you know what
we're
does?
See him as a
this podcast!
So
welcome to Cast Ranger!
So we're not going to see Bumblebee as a 1944 Chevrolet Camaro?
I think that might be at the end. Welcome to episode 162 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Gar, there is no such thing as a 1944.
Someone post in the comments what Pokemon that is, because I don't care.
You should... No. You should learn not to mess with Mesogog and his plans.
Don't mess with Agog.
His plans.
Best villain. Anyways, we are here to discuss X8 episode 43, Q-Ranger episode 25, and episode 2 of the Kamen Rider Snipe special, since this was a very Taiga-heavy episode.
I can't wait for, the one episode where we'll just be like, insert episode number here, Q-Ranger episode 5, and our feature topic... Scar's gonna have all three, hate all three of them.
No, Lane, you and I are like Siskel and Ebert right now. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I mean, I guess I support having different perspectives.
Yeah, in terms of X-Aid, Gar and I are the yin and yang. I like this show a lot. Gar does not.
I messaged in the Cast Ranger group chat earlier, 3 minutes into the newest X-Aid episode. Fuck it all.
Is Gar yang because he's yellow?
Yeah.
That's a Ruby joke. Nope.
You
got to smother me.
You got the towel of shit.
Gross, it's warm!
he has been wearing it around his head the whole time.
You got the towel of shame. You're lucky it's not wet.
Y'all should not be!
Anymore.
No,
Q-Ranger segment?
No! Play the X-Zane one.
Cute, cute.
So the X-Zane episode
starts... So Q-Ranger starts with...
Fuck you!
No, let's do Q-Ranger first. Fuck it.
No.
Really? Yeah, let's do it.
Fine.
Cue the Q-Ranger 7.
Actually, cue it now.
Alright, so Q-Ranger episode 25. This was a really fantastic episode.
Oh, it's
like,
I guess you could say it was about time.
Hey, that planet was fucking cool.
Okay, yeah.
That planet was actually really fucking cool.
Oh, you mean the Hyrule Field planet?
Yeah! Oh my god, it was the Hyrule
Field. I just love how our first shot of it is of it being exploded.
Exploded?
It did look like the Hyrule Field from Ocarina of Time. You know, that game that Raven's never played!
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Raven, you never played Ocarina of
Time? There's a game that Raven hasn't played?
We were originally going to make an Ixie Studios series of just Raven playing it for the first time, and it just never happened.
We need to fucking sit you down and fucking play
just
Mass
buy,
Effect
we'll
2
buy
for
the
starters.
The 3DS version, and you can play that!
No, I was saying he needs the Mass Effect 2 for starters.
Oh yeah, that too.
Anyways, so...
This is the episode that takes place during the Dawn Festivals.
Oh my god, this episode answered so many questions.
Oh yeah, the most important question.
Where
the fuck is Jiro? He's at their uncle's place.
No, grandfather.
No, uncle.
Actually, well...
My subs were uncle.
It's the same word in Japanese, so it could be either.
Wait. You guys got an explanation?
Yeah.
In the Nihon version, it said, like... It was never brought up.
No, I watched the Nihon version, and it said that he was with his grandpa.
I didn't even notice. I wasn't even paying attention.
I was writing notes, and I paid more attention than you.
Excuse me.
Hey, you should see Ultra Ranger
notes. He literally, when he was talking to his mother, just said...
I guess he said Oji-san.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jiro is at his grandfather's place.
Or
watching Netflix.
Yeah.
He's currently watching Defenders right now.
Apparently their mom died immediately after giving birth to Jiro.
It's all Jiro's fault.
If only Dark Matter offered healthcare.
No, they actually, Kotaro said, if we got my mom to a hospital, we could have saved her.
If not for the fact the planet was basically taken over and we were all getting fucked around by the magistrates.
Which is really weird because that
scene... We could have gotten her to the hospital and she wouldn't have died.
That flashback where she was dying, that looked like a hospital bed though.
Right.
That's what was weird about it.
How long has Dark Matter had control over the planet?
Long
thousands
enough.
Of hundreds of years, according to Tsurugi.
Alternate timeline.
Tsurugi died.
So at least 300 years, more.
But in the scene that we saw in episode 1, it looked like modern-day Japan.
Yeah.
Alternate timeline.
It was. Japan stopped advancing when Dark Matter took over and started torturing the people.
300 years, Dark Matter modernized Japan with their version of modern-day Earth.
Q-Ranger takes place in the future.
Like, long future. Alternate timeline future.
It really doesn't matter when this is compared to
our universe. Remember that episode where they explained the Q-Ranger happens in a different fucking dimension?
Yes.
That.
So it doesn't matter.
So we find out that, like, to get the Tokei Kyutama, they need to... Turn 12 keys at different points of the planet
basically,
because it's shaped like a clock.
Basically play an RPG.
So then
but
Lucky...
But you only have a half an hour.
Yeah.
Because if you don't finish it in a half an hour, the
clock resets.
So it's basically a time trial.
You have to get to every key in half an hour.
And it's interesting because Lucky...
Except we have 12 people.
Good thing there's 12 of us.
Right?
I would have laughed if Lucky or like one of them didn't get it.
I mean, Kotaro almost.
Wait a minute. There are 12 of them? Oh, man, we'll never make it to them in time. They're all just staring at him. What? There's 12 of us. Yeah, but it'll take us forever. Oh, I get it now.
We continue to violently fuck the concept of Q energy.
No. That's only on Earth.
Did they explicitly say
no,
that?
No, they didn't. They just said the Q energy.
They didn't make it to Earth
thing.
Before they started using all that.
Yeah.
No. They were on Earth when they started whole Q-let thing.
I don't know if they said it was because it was Earth.
It was because of Earth.
I'd have to go back and watch that.
Every other planet, it's fair game.
Oh, okay.
Which makes me wonder why the fuck we bothered with that.
Just make it to mix it up.
Also, fucking Vice Shogun. They needed all guns in.
Which is fine, but if we're going to abandon it less than halfway into the show, why even have the concept?
Also,
just for the sake of selling the fucking toy.
Yeah, guys, I've actually heard a rumor that might actually happen in Key Ranger.
Oh?
Civil War.
Cool. Like,
against the Key Rangers?
Key Rangers against Key Rangers.
Oh my god.
I would love it.
Since there's like 12 of them, they could actually make a six.
Six on six.
Cool.
It's a match of Overwatch.
Capture the flag.
Again, move the payload.
Again, rumored.
I know, right? And now they've got deathmatch.
Right.
And team deathmatch.
See, deathmatch makes more sense, though.
Except that really fucks some characters. Like, because of the way you spawn in that, mercies right. can't be as useful.
Welcome back to Overwatch.
You're also
podcast.
On your own, so of course
yeah.
mercies can
be that useful. Also that.
So the one thing that really I did not like about this episode was just... We got way too much Modico than I wanted.
Oh my god.
We did not... Not only did we get Monaco back,
all
we also got her
forms.
Other four past selves. And I was like,
and the last
fuck
one
her.
Was really fucking annoying.
And, fuck her.
And we got serious otaku Monaco.
Oh my god.
Which was
she went all moe for Hami.
Right?
In which apparently that was in a stage show?
I was wondering, so I'm like, I don't remember that form.
Because that was the one that was actually summoned by the Vice Shogun and wasn't pulled out of their memories.
I guess.
Oh.
That was new.
Oh.
Really?
It's, the Vice Shogun had the tentacle in his
right.
hand and
You're
summoned
right.
her.
You're
yeah.
right.
That was the new
that
one.
That also explains why there were two of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Also, there were two of my favorite scenes in this episode. So each Q Ranger had to go through a trial.
Where they encountered a ghost of their past.
Yes.
I mean,
but the fun,
trial.
Yeah, but the
fucking Balance
yeah.
and Lompo had the easiest
it,
fucking
those
thing in the
were
world.
The two that I was going to bring up. There's Balance. And
Balance,
his trial
Balance
is,
walks up.
Like,
Naga shows
Naga.
Up. They high five. They turn the key.
Easiest quest ever.
Yeah,
Lompo,
yeah.
Big Bear showed
Easy.
Up and they had a drink together.
Really, on my screen, if you look in my room... You see Balance with the clone Naga, and they're like, yeah.
They just high-five and then go and turn
then
the key.
Then Balance just runs over to Naga. Oh, Naga, who'd you get? You got me, right?
Was it
I,
me?
I got nobody.
Nobody showed up.
Wait, Undertale reference, but nobody
so
came.
So then...
Which is great setup for next episode.
Okay,
but nothing happened.
Yeah.
So, Lucky doesn't get anybody, of course, because...
No, he gets Eledron.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He got Eledron, Stinger got Scorpio. Wait,
yeah, no, Stinger got Scorpio, who,
got,
they didn't get it, Scorpio's VA,
yeah.
or actor back.
Because it's,
him.
Cause it's not...
Tsurugi got Cuervo.
No, it's technically not them. It's like...
No, but then I was going to get to my other point. Then Champ gets Dr. Anton, who they did guess they couldn't get Dr. Anton's actor to come
so
back
and
have a one quick cameo the entire time.
Yeah.
yeah, which is why I'd like to think Scorpio didn't talk at all because his actor's done doing other shit now.
I guess.
So.
All right, guys, I'm gonna go film Kamara Guy 3.
I just love how like Lucky
three,
is.
You say.
I just love how Lucky looks at Eledron and went, "I've gotten better since then." Goes Taiyo mode and literally one punches Eledron.
We're back. Yeah, he's like, I've gotten stronger since the first time we fought.
Now I have a flower face.
And then we get Raptor, who has the most interesting one, and confirms something very disturbing. She receives marriage proposals from Lucky, Rompo, Spada, and Tsurugi. And I'm like, so you like all four of them?
No, my Spada ship, though.
That's weird when you have a crush on your boss. Who you fucking hate so much because he annoys you.
Opposites attract.
That's how
that's
love
true.
Stories go.
Now I know.
Lucky's is the one that I find confusing.
Then she goes back to everyone. Guys, I did it! I turned my key! I rejected all four of them!
And just the people who had no idea what she's talking about. What?
There was one that I was kind of disappointed about. That was Garu's.
Yeah.
It was Virgo Garu!
It was the girl Garu.
No. You know what it should have been to make it feel like, or to make it really feelsy?
His dead allies.
His dead, or yeah, like his dead parents. It'd be like, because.
You mean like Kotaro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, so, you're the last of our race? Yeah. Fuck you.
Go pull a Garulu and go fuck a human woman.
And thus Inuyasha was born.
Damn it.
Inuyasha sucks.
Well, yeah, but...
Hey, the Band of Seven arc was the best thing Inuyasha ever did.
Yeah.
The rest of it was shit.
Not difficult.
Shomaru was the best part of that entire series.
No, and then... But yeah, then
Kotaro sees his mom.
Which was really weird because at the start of the episode, he's like, I want to go because maybe I can meet my mom. Oh, she died? Yeah, she died.
No!
And then when he gets there, like, she shows up. I can't fucking believe it! It's my mom!
No. I love, though, just Stinger was, like, talking to Kotaro, and he's like, you lost your mother. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to talk like this to you the whole time.
I killed her.
No, it's like...
I killed your mother.
No, it's like...
I'm sorry.
When I worked for Dark Matter.
Yeah, but at least Kotaro understands. It's like... Then again, we've all lost people.
I would have liked... Because, like, we see, like, Kotaro turning the key. And, like, you see... Like, he notices she's starting to disappear because he's doing it. And he's like, oh, shit. I just wanted to see, like, Balance or Naga or something walk up and just start going like, hey, guys, check this out.
Yeah, no.
And just Kotaro's face is being all shocked.
The entire episode, as he runs off after the fight Shogun, I'm sitting there, and what is stopping anyone else standing there from just turning the damn key?
I know, right?
No, but it has to be Kotaro, because
no,
it's his only way to develop.
No, could you imagine just as he's turning the key, all of them restart? Damn it!
We ran out of time!
So they all just go back.
Just everyone angrily trudges off.
But I like the amazing attention to detail with Rompo's. Rompo, like, it summons Big Bear, and then he changes back to his old clothes.
Yeah.
And
so it confirms, Sholompo took Big Bear's
coat when
he died.
No, and so, yeah, they're sitting down drinking tea, and he's like, no, don't bring up those stories again, come on.
Tea.
They were
drinking.
Okay.
Sake.
Yeah.
They were drinking.
And he's just like, oh, don't bring up embarrassing stories about me. Not that one. And just they're like, Rompo, we have to go. Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, Commander.
See ya, man.
Changes back. He's like, I'm the leader now.
Until the next time we channel your dead spirit through a somehow third medium as opposed to this time stone and the
this episode does take place during the Bond Festival. Which is the festival where they celebrate, the dead in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Whereas last year it was
Yamato's mom. This year's Kotaro's mom.
Is this just dead mom trademark going to be a thing in Sentai from now on?
God,
I wouldn't mind it.
Remember that intense stuff?
What, you have a thing for people's dead moms?
Maybe. Hey, if one character from Glee... Speaking of moms...
Jesus Christ. Let the record show that Gar's mom is calling him.
Hello.
Oh my god, he took the call. Put her on speaker.
No.
We're gonna Game Grumps this shit.
What you up to, mom?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, we're just recording the podcast. It's actually funny, we are just talking about moms.
Dead moms.
Oh dear. Oh, you sort of
have fun explaining that one.
Apparently that's his thing.
Oh no, guys! Does your mom call you guys as my mom calls me?
I mean, my mom texted me.
My mom.
In fact, today she texted me, "Hey, what's up?" I wish I was joking. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm working.
Every time I call my mom, my stepfather Grant picks up the phone. He's a really nice dude.
What about you, Raven?
Does your mom ever call you?
A lot. Cause I never.
How's Anna?
Yes.
How's my granddaughter?
Why don't you ever bring her over to my house?
Why don't you call anymore?
Why don't I call ever is more than that. She needs to call me.
Exactly.
I never remember to
that
call.
That doesn't
disqualify
my joke.
In fact, she called me while we were at the office today.
Oh my god, this
that's
is actually
who that
was?
Happening.
Yeah. All right, mom. We're gonna just continue recording the podcast. I love you very much. I'll talk to you tomorrow when I'm on my break at work.
I am not reading this off a script.
All right, love you, buddy. Good night.
Love you too, mommy. Good night.
You can't script this shit, people. You really can't.
I mean, you can.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, my mom!
Woo! All the way from Denville!
Well, no, Grimsby, because he's driving home from work.
Oh, okay.
So I think this was the first time we got all 12 doing the henshin and roll call together.
And you know what? It didn't. The roll call didn't feel rushed, and I was happy about that.
It did feel a little bit rushed, but there's 12 of them.
I find that hilarious when they all just show up at the beginning. It's like, whoa. I wasn't expecting all of you at once.
I was prepared for trouble, but not for this.
Not like that.
And then we got a really, really awesome like fight scene using Oguma Sky Blue, and it was fucking. I loved it.
Oh.
He like grabs him and scoops him up into the air.
There's a.
He does a fucking All-Star Crash in Oguma form, and I was like, holy shit.
Oh my goodness. Huh? Q Rangers become cheaper by the dozen.
I love that. I love both those movies. I love that movie and its sequel.
What about the original Cheaper by a Dozen?
No, fuck that.
I just love how tactical the team fights. Like, the shooters stay back, and then we get this awesome attack on the last Madoka where, like, Silver, Blue, and Yellow slash in together, and then Gold, Commander, and Pink just, like, fire all at once.
Yeah.
That was awesome!
Oh, yeah.
So who would be the tank?
Champ.
Champ.
Champ's the tank.
Unquestionably.
Also Tsurugi with the sword and shield.
Yeah, that too. In fact, the other episode was all about the fact that he's the tank.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, nothing will beat that now. Nothing will top that tonight. Just, Mom calls me as we're talking about moms.
Dead moms.
Dead moms.
Hashtag dead moms.
You know what, that's got to be the title of the episode. Dead moms.
Just thinking,
no.
Dead moms trademark.
No, that's going to trigger people.
Oh, right.
They can't get angry at us if they don't listen to the show. If you're listening and got triggered by the phrase dead mom, thanks for the view.
No, that's horrible.
And then there's also, why the fuck is Magi Yellow / Beat Buster doesn't look happy, LOL.
That was my note about the ending. I finally took a good look at him during the Ondo ending sequence. He does not look happy to be there.
Probably because he's spray painted in gold.
That, primarily. Anyways. Yes,
you okay, man?
So
just gold dust.
So the Q Rangers triangulate their fire. That's a Beetleborgs joke.
And then they also all jump into Kitamajin.
Like,
and,
fucking immediately.
And they did some, like, Lionsgate Power Rangers, like, teamwork with the Megazord. And it was fucking awesome. Alright, leg team! Right kick! Left arm team! Left punch!
Uppercut! It was interesting to see them, like, all in their cockpits, but the fact that the limbs are swinging around, like, I get that the cockpits are, like, rotating to be always, like, perfectly centered gravity-wise, but that's still gotta be jarring when you're the hand and the arms are swinging the fuck around. Exactly.
You okay? Demorphed.
I just threw up in my helmet!
It's in the helmet!
Props to whoever is the suit actor for Kitamajin. Like, Jesus Christ, that must be so heavy to fucking move around.
Well, you think they only filmed 5 seconds worth, then. Cut! Take it off.
Cast off.
Yep. Cut! Arms fall off.
I'm still not super big on Kitamajin, but there was this moment where, like, Tenchu, like, fires an attack, and then Tsurugi just, like, lifts his jumps with his Kitama in the air to avoid it and puts it back down, and they're like, he's like, NANI! No,
I am...
Thank God he was aiming for that very off in the distance spot.
I am okay with Rocket Thruster Fist.
Yeah, no, like, it's like, Kitamajin's not horrible, really, but it's still, like, not the greatest Megazord ever.
Toy-wise, Morty.
I think it's the worst Zord design this Q Ranger has had thus far.
For me personally, for Megazords in Sentai, nothing beats Go Buster-O.
Well, I'm talking about worst.
I know.
Worst?
My point was, I think Kitamajin is the worst Zord design Q Ranger's had.
Oh, you know what? One of my least favorites? King Shurikenjin.
That's pretty bad.
Thing's fucking god awful.
Which one?
Especially when you look at how the fucking head is assembled.
The combination of Shurikenshin and Bison King.
Especially when you look at how the pieces assemble to make the head part of it. It's really fucking awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I make that form with the two toys, it's really...
I thought,
fuck, shit, stack.
I thought it was really interesting how Tsurugi was like the tactician in this fight, in that Zord fight, though. Him giving orders, I thought was really cool.
Because he forms the head.
No, well... He forms the thing sticking out of the head.
I made a Voltron reference again. Q Ranger. Woo!
It doesn't apply, though.
Someone
likes
Voltron.
It does.
Technically, he formed the cancerous mole sticking out the back of the head.
You know what? I want somebody to dub over Q-Ranger being form arms and... Or no, form arms, form legs, and all form the head.
QMC Frontalot song, all form the head.
So then, yeah, we actually get to see...
Voltron, Legendary Defender.
Joke over! Moving on!
So we actually get to see the Tokei Kutama, and it's this nice, like, red and blue.
Yeah.
Although before they form it, like, Kotaro, like, after he finishes turning the switch, he, like, runs and hugs his mom as she starts disappearing, and just in the back of my head, I just wanted, like, her to be disappeared enough that he just spills through her.
And now Tsurugi's...
Oh, that's horrible.
Now Tsurugi's gonna go back to the past to save the shitty worlds that suck ass.
Oh.
No. You know what the saddest death scene I've ever seen in Sentai yet?
What?
Barizon Zoo Ranger. Because he literally fades away as he's in his brother's hands, and Geki just holds the dragon dagger to his chest, bawling his eyes out on the beach.
Yeah, Gar told me that, like, apparently fucking Dragon Ranger had, like, a 24-hour to live.
25 hours to live. But that's why he wasn't showing up much. But then Witch Bondora tricked him by going into a maze, killing most of those hours.
Fuck. That sucks.
Talk about killing time.
Yeah, no, this was a really good episode. I'm glad, like... Almost every single Q-Ranger had, like, a different, like, thing they had to deal with when turning the key. So, like, it wasn't just, oh, Q old monster that they fought before everyone.
And they also hinted
that... Well, I mean, Red and Green did...
No, but I'm just saying, I'm glad they didn't do that with every single one.
And then there was Naga, in which they actually, you know, gave him a valid reason. Because Balance goes up to him, being like, yo, Naga, who'd you have to fight? Was it me? Tell me it's me. Balance it. Nobody showed up.
We already talked about that. But
yeah, but it was brushed over. He's like, because I have no heart. It's like, you know, that's a
setting up for next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
For next
no, week.
Speaking but of, I think for Hibitsukai Metal, I think it's a different Naga.
No.
Oh, it's the same one?
Nope.
It sort of looked like he was... He's a separate thing from Naga.
He gets turned evil by one of the Vice Shogun.
No. Okay,
that's
what I've heard. But in the preview, it looked like to me that he was separate from Naga. Like it was his darker emotions or something.
From the looks
of
it, it looks like they're still on Planet Toki just having a picnic.
We decided to stick around for a while for no reason.
And Gara has a mohawk.
Yeah, that was
weird.
But I wanted to mention at the end of the episode when they like formally introduced the new Vice Shoguns. Apparently they're Pokemon because they start chiming their names over and over.
Oh, they're annoying. I hate them. I hate all three.
Hey,
Kukuruga looks
Mr.
Cool.
Oh, fucking lazy villains we just shoved in the last second.
Yeah, but you have to at least give them credit that they're voiced by veteran rangers.
Yeah, no, when I heard Yellow Buster's voice for the Vice Shogun, I was like, well done. I do not recognize you at all.
I forgot that was there, so I didn't even notice.
Fuck that, man. Denzi Green is one of the Vice Shoguns.
Is he Kukuruga?
Yeah, and which the cool...
We're just going to call him Kukuruga.
Yeah, think of it. Denjiman was technically the first Sentai to, like, to actually have connections with space.
Cool.
Oh my goodness, what they went to planet Denji.
Also, we're halfway through Q-Ranger now.
No! That means we're 2 months away from trademark of 42nd Sentai.
And it's going to be vehicle themed. Just calling it right now. It's going to be vehicle themed.
Those are the rumors.
It's going to be vehicle themed.
I can see
I predicted that it was going to be a ninja themed series, and I was right.
Then again,
so
it has been 10 years.
And then you haven't been right since.
No, it's been 10 years since the last Car Sentai. So, yeah.
Said it's cars?
I wonder if.
Yeah, it could be Wham or AC/DC.
God damn it.
When Noble hears that, he's going to lose his shit.
Robo Sentai Robo Ranger, in which all the Rangers are just robots and the Six Rangers human.
I mean,
yes. No, video game themed Sentai! No!
Yes.
No,
yes.
It will be vehicle based. But to go along with Kamen Rider Build, it's just going to be construction vehicles.
Hot Wheels Leaper!
I mean, we've had construction vehicles prior, so why not?
Wait a minute. So would
the like swords, a whole team.
Wait a minute. So would the Red Ranger be Tomari Shinosuke?
Might be.
if Takauchi Ryoma came back as like the Red Ranger in a Sentai, I'd be so happy.
Oh, you mean how there were rumors that Jugless Jugglers actor was going to be Shishi Red?
The Juggler.
I don't know if I'd like that.
I'm still juggling
just
my jeans.
Juggler just going, you're so lucky!
Or that time when Kaito from Gaim was supposed to be Captain Marvelous, but he
someone
turned
photoshopped
down,
that no, today.
But he turned up, like he turned down the role. Yeah.
That was marvelously poor foresight.
Hey,
I think he would have done well with that role.
Yeah.
Like, Ichi, I just want to show you. Does this look like the face of Shishi Red?
No, I think he's better
suited
to be a
villain.
Looks
like the face of Decade?
Yeah!
It looks like Masahiro Inoue.
It looks like Masahiro Inoue from Death Game Park.
Yeah.
I love Jugless Juggler.
Jugless Juggler's amazing.
I can't wait for that figure art to come out, man.
Yep.
Alright, now let's actually talk about X-Zane.
Aww.
Yay.
Play the X-Zane theme again! So the episode starts with Dan giving a completely bullshit born-again speech.
Just, he like stands up, he's like, let me out, guys.
Now,
promise.
I only care about restoring humanity's smiles.
Yeah.
So please, let me the fuck out!
And Curious is standing there like, you're not actually gonna believe him.
And Kyrian just the incredibly monotone, I don't think I need to say this, but don't fall for
no,
it,
see,
guys.
Don't believe it.
See, Gar's favorite character is Kyrian, just because Kyrian hates Dan so much and he's tired of his bullshit.
Kyrian has been good from the get-go.
Yeah,
my favorite character was Kyrian. Before he died.
Same.
My favorite. I like Kyria as of episode 7.
But I liked him from the get go.
Yeah, I thought he was cool from the get go, and then just oh yeah.
You just like him because he's yellow.
Maybe. I like yellow things.
So Dan like tried tricking everyone into laying him out, and I was like, oh,
good try,
buddy.
I'm just confused on how they're like, if he's a bugster, can't he just hop out?
They have bars.
They
in
have
front
like
of the screen.
They
so
like put
out
some sort of security program over so he can't get out.
Firewall.
Oh yeah.
So you're telling me the game developer can't take down a firewall?
Yeah, who maybe Kyria programmed it.
Or, you know, later in the episode, oh, yeah, I can get you guys into that base. It's like...
That's because he is one of the creators for Comrade Chronicle.
Yeah, but I'm like, you can do...
Although,
he's
trying...
No, like, you
program coding a way to break them into his own design.
Although I have...
It's probably not a terribly hard thing for him to do.
Although I have to say, this is the first, like, super god mode thing Dan has done that is not, like, explicitly explained on how he did it.
Where
it's just like, if you let me out, I'll let you into the final boss area. And then, it's done. And, like...
He said...
Really?
It,
no, like,
he,
I am immortal moment!
He said it would take him 5 fucking minutes. It took him 5 fucking minutes.
It's not the point, man.
It's just like, with my talents, I could get you in there in 5 minutes flat. Sure enough, 5 fucking minutes later,
I
want to
see the entire duration of the shenanigans. So, as we can see from Kyria's pain, even bugsters can catch Game Deus virus.
That was so dumb.
Which I thought...
Ahem. There's a reason Kyria has it, and none of the other guys seem affected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was resurrected by Masamune.
Well, then, you
yes,
know, he was infected last week.
That
also
too.
That, although he was, like, purified by Mighty Doctor,
yeah,
but
exactly.
then it started happening to him again, and for some reason they didn't try using Mighty Doctor against Game Deus, even though they just defeated him with it last episode.
Ah!
No, they tried reprogramming him.
Let's use Maximum Mighty to try and reprogram him, and somehow they have a shield that blocks that.
Now, see, I don't know if it's the fact that he's immortal to it, or
shield.
It's the shield.
It's the shield. He specifically shielded the fucking attack.
Which is fine.
And the shield looked like it absorbed it.
But they didn't even try to use Dr. Mighty.
No, they put Dr. Mighty in the Key Slasher to reprogram.
No, oh, that was Maximum Mighty.
Oh.
He said it was reprogramming, not Dr. Mighty.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I keep forgetting. I thought the Key Slasher was like the thing to reprogram shit. So.
Again, the show creates Deus Ex Machina, but doesn't do anything with it.
Okay,
I gotta say though that like when I'm calling him Game Mune because we don't have a name for this weird new existence. When he henchins into Game Deus Cronus and that like holographic display of Game Deus's body, oh my god, that was amazing.
No,
yeah,
it was kind of like he was a kind of weak villain.
Who, Cronus or Game Deus?
Both.
But together, they're a less weak.
No, but think of it. He just shows up. It's like,
What's up?
It's like,
here's the thing.
Like, you're not even gonna.
It's quite obviously Masamune has some level of control in that.
But it's like,
because it's still fucking him.
Well, no, it's like,
although he when the fusion first happened, he did explicitly state that neither existence is present anymore. This is a new being born from both of them.
Yeah, but the mind is very obviously mostly Masamune, because this is literally the way he's
also
been the entire
that,
time.
And, you know, fusion logic, the superior mind always
also
takes.
And Gamdeus didn't really have much of a personality. The way he, like, reveals himself when, like, talking to Nico and the way he talks to everyone, it's like a final boss in an RPG.
Yeah, but
although I got
it's a game theme
show.
Yeah,
but if he was a true final boss, he wouldn't leave his area.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Some video games have bosses
like
that.
It would have been intriguing for them to actually be scared knowing Masamune is a bugster now. He could literally pop in anywhere.
Not that he hasn't been able to do that.
But there have been many history games where they've fused like two things together into one being, like in Rogue Galaxy,
Demon
Mother,
Battleship.
The ship fused into one thing.
Although I have to say, the one thing I don't like about Game Deus Cronus, besides the terrible, terrible color scheme, is I really have already gotten sick of his like Shino La Subos. That got old real fucking fast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean how like fucking like Lord and Meme Dan. It's like, for fuck's sake.
At least Dan was funny, though.
No, he's not.
Yeah, to you.
That's a matter of opinion.
It's become obnoxious.
To you.
So,
I'm sorry, Gar.
So Taiga, being the only man around when Game Deus Cronus shows up, decides, yeah, let's throw a level 50 at this and see how fast I die.
Right?
Clearly forgetting that he still has access to pause.
Where's that gif where everybody just like face palms themselves, and just the whole entire crowd.
But yeah, so like, I'm just gonna call him Cronus just for the sake of it, because like whatever.
Just say GC for short. Fucking
corrupted
I don't know.
Cronus.
Sure.
Super Cronus.
So, whatever. So.
Final boss Cronus.
It's a Super Cronus.
Super Mega Death Christ.
Super Cronus. You have to listen to reason.
Hyper Metal.
Kill us all, then sober.
Hyper Metal Cronus.
So Cronus kidnaps Nico because
it's
like, oh, Nico's the player that's gotten the farthest. She's the only one who deserves to fight me.
What?
Also,
that is wrong.
Well,
no.
Here's the logic. This is basically an MMO game in the real world, an MMO like augmented reality game.
Flip side of that even more. It's less that, more just she's the only actual player.
That. My point was,
the rest of them are special game characters that aren't supposed to be helping.
Yeah.
NPC.
My point is, technically those Gashatrophies are, thinking in MMO terms, items attached to Nico's character account. So if he kills her, all the trophies get erased and someone else has to start from scratch.
Yeah, because she got the farthest because she beat Graphite, who was
the
last boss.
Wait a minute, so wouldn't that mean that Gambidus goes back to where he was?
Correct. Because he wants Comrade Chronicle to be played endlessly worldwide.
So, that doesn't...
Okay, Gar, what is even the issue with logic on this one?
He doesn't want
the game to end, so he wants to get the one player who's at the final boss stage to game over so that no one else is that close.
Then why fuse with Gambidus?
Because otherwise the game would have ended right then and there.
Yeah, they were literally about to kill Game Disc, so Masamune got desperate.
Yeah. That was a moment of desperation, and now he's trying to put things back a little so that the only player who is anywhere near to clearing the game is going to game over and everyone's back to square fucking one.
But when, like, even Masamune mentions at the end of the episode, oh, the final boss always has a second form. So wouldn't that mean Game Disc still technically has a second form?
Yes, what's your point? They just fucking morphed into it.
So wouldn't that... but when Gimminus was about to die last episode, he would have transformed into his second most strongest form.
Except for one thing, and that is the fact that Dan Kuroto had no clue about that. Which means this is something that Masamune programmed in after the fact.
But his point is, if Masamune knew about the second phase, why did he stop the death of the first phase?
Okay, to sum this up, he probably put it in after. Point being, the boss NPC of a game evolved beyond his programming.
That's a good idea, which leads into what I was about to say. Maybe the second form was only created as a result of the fusion.
Yeah.
Maybe the second form didn't exist while he was just
Game Disc. What would have been a cooler thing?
And you know what? You know what I have to back that up? When Cronus killed Game Disc, we saw a game clear. So, yes, that is the case. There was not a second phase before they fused.
No. You know what Masamune should have done? Mm. You know how he has that thing about, oh, yeah, they just keep dying endlessly and pause. Make that a glitch for Gemidus. That way he can't die.
Although that did count as a game clear because the Tokimeki Crisis Gacha Trophy was created. Although I can see the logic behind your argument, but there is an equal counterpoint
like,
to it.
Like, Cronus kills him, clicks pause and reset at the exact same time, or like he just keeps rapid firing it until it breaks pause. That way Gemidus is still active throughout the rest of the show, but he cannot be killed since the game has glitched.
At this point, I'm going to have to chalk anything else up to we're out of time.
Pretty much.
Unfortunately, as much as I love defending Eggsaid, the pacing in these last few episodes has been fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, the Kuroto family is just so fucking...
The Dan family.
The Dan family is just so fucking annoying. Masamune, you started off as a really cool character.
Who's slowly been going nuts because people have actually been able to beat him. He started off as an invincible character that no one could fucking touch and just slowly has been getting screwed over by his own son and his shit repeatedly as the show has gone on and has slowly just lost it.
Yep. Also, how long was Masamune in prison for?
It would have been 5 years.
Yeah, five years.
Maybe six.
He was in prison for roughly 5 years and he didn't think of backup plans.
I think he was just
sad. He had that much time on his hand.
Also, he
to not think of backups.
Because he was pretty certain that his plan was going to work.
That, and clearly he's not as diversely minded as Dan was with all his with all his backup plans. He was like, nope, the one thing I've got planned is going to work. But this episode actually brought up something interesting. The fact that like Taiga has the most developed antibody. Which really explains Masamune's, because he was in prison all that time, he has an equally, if not more, developed antibody, which explains why both of them were the only ones able to use Cronus.
I loved how Taiga transformed to Cronus. It was fucking awesome.
Can we mention just real quick the fact that the final game area of Kamen Rider Chronicle is fucking Helheim?
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Well, one area of Helheim.
Or you mean Toei's Backyard?
Right, pretty much.
As I am now going to just officially call it Toei's Backyard.
So... They brought the other thing that I thought was neat to mention was the fact that we do have all of the Chronicle gashes we've confiscated from people over the last 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't explain why there are no Ride players just running around.
Well, we've
confiscated
less.
Their gashes.
Also, everyone who is a Ride player is now in the hospital.
Yeah, because of the Game DS Cronus fusion, the
Everyone is infected again,
including Kyria.
So what was the point of curing everyone if they're just going to make everybody ill again?
No, because
everybody was cured temporarily when Game Deus was defeated.
And then they didn't expect the fusion to happen.
And then the fusion happened and Dan kicked it into high gear again.
Masamune.
Dan.
I know, but...
Oh, Gar, it's nothing to be mad about. It just...
Gar,
unexpected
logic.
Shit happened.
It's a plot.
That's the thing with this show.
It's
unexpected
a twist.
Shit keeps happening. The show's full of twists.
No,
the second phase happened in order to...
Been,
what?
They magically vanished. Instead of having the infection again,
no,
all
but
just
the,
magically vanished.
But then they wouldn't have been able to become turkey zombies.
Yeah, I
thought
that was
no,
way
this,
better.
This
literally second form Game Deus Cronus as an army of all of the infected people
as turkey has.
As mooks.
Who can now infect other people. This fits pretty well into like the idea of a final form, second phase of a boss, because in most RPGs, when the boss reaches their final form, something fucking cataclysmic happens.
And, also,
and here we have the pandemic.
Also, this is a game fused with a virus, so viruses multiply.
And spread
and
infect.
Spread and involve. And
like
evolve,
a zombie virus.
Yeah, or just a regular virus. So yeah, I'm sorry, Gar. Like you make fair points, but logic literally just
you know what bugs
sense.
Me though? They make a big deal about not being able to get into the world of Kamurana Chronicle. Palad fucking did it with Graphite when they were getting the Graphite antidote to give to Graphite.
Also, Palad was heavily
the game
not used in this episode. That was kind of sad.
Gee,
yeah.
It's like they're gonna hype him up for the final episode next week.
Of course, I agree wholeheartedly.
So let's talk about the highlight of the episode, Taiga becoming Cronus, using his gamer driver and two Chronicle gadgets.
Yeah.
Whoopty-fucking
this is just
dude.
This is just me being anal about belt mechanics, but I was super happy that the sounds produced in that scene were toy accurate.
Oh, I will agree. Him kind of just being Cronus just at the last second, that was... kind of lazy and dumb.
No, I thought it was the perfect culmination of his character because they brought up the fact that he has the most developed antibody and that the idea behind Cronus was that it was supposed to be given to the player who has the ultimate antibody.
And
the only two people who have that are Taiga and Masamune.
And as Kuroto himself said episodes and episodes ago, he designed it so that Cronus was the only person who could beat Game Deus.
Here's the thing. I agree with what you just said, Ichi, and what you just said, Raven.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one thing that would have made it so much better.
Okay.
Taiga should have died.
Except that would kind of throw off that whole thing that frigging Hiro and Emu walked in and did.
It's like, no,
speaking
it
of that
been...
whole, that whole, you, sir, are a doctor. You can't just let yourself die because who the fuck's going to take care of your patient afterwards?
He's ex-doctor.
Well,
and
I sense this
doctor.
Is his redemption.
Spoilers, he's going to get his license back.
Probably.
The show.
Yeah.
Although, what I have to point out about the fact that when Emu and Hiro stepped in to like do team play or whatever, why didn't Taiga go Cronus again?
Yeah.
No, it's just...
You know, the form that has no level and all the weapons. All the weapons! That doesn't
make sense, but I'm okay with it. I'm sorry, I take back what I said. No. Taiga's Cronus was really, really cool. Just, like, honestly, I thought you were going to actually say that it was kind of dumb for some
reason. No, I liked it.
No, okay.
And
yeah,
I think we can call this form, like, Kamen Rider Cronus Chronicle Gamer because it's using two Chronicle gadgets.
Yeah.
No, just, it would have been better if Taiga did win, but he ends up dying. They're all just walking off thinking, we finally did it. We beat the game. And then, look, phase two, Cronus Gemidus shows up, and Gemidus is like, all final villains have a second form.
On that note.
And they're all just like...
On that note, when they fucking beat him, and he was lying there laughing his ass off, and goes, you guys know nothing about video games. I'm like, fuck, he has a second form, doesn't he?
Why didn't Emu speak up?
Right?
The guy who knows about games.
Right?
You figure
the two heavy gamers in the show would be like, oh, shit!
This is what happens when you only have one writer.
I also like the fact that Cronus fell on his belt and somehow didn't push buttons on it.
No.
It would have been
just,
like, pause.
Critical pause.
Speaking of critical, I was talking about how the sounds from Cronus Taiga version, whatever, were, like, toy accurate. But then somehow he was able to produce Rider Critical Crusade, even though that shouldn't be possible. That only worked. He would have done Rider Critical Strike.
Yeah, you hear him go, like, yeah, you actually even hear the Game of Drummer go, Kimiwaza. I'm just like.
No, that's fine, because the Chronicle Gasha in the Kimiwaza slot does that voice.
Oh, yeah,
but it does Rider Critical Strike, not Rider Critical Crusade. That was inaccurate.
Maybe that's the power when you use two of them. Ooh.
The sound. Anyways, you get the point.
But yeah, then, like, Emu and, like, all three of them team up, and they're like, we're the ultimate doctor team! And it's like, okay.
And I just love how Taiga's, like, going on, like, I want to be a doctor. And then in my head, I just start singing, I want to be a doctor!
You're
a Kamen Rider Snipe! I'll play this game! I want to be a doctor! Saving that girl's life, and the future will decide whether that girl lived or died. I want to be a doctor, Rider Snipe.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, I planned that out in advance.
Yeah, you
did. No shit.
So next week.
Next week's the final episode.
Oh yeah, Dan Face. Dan did duck face when Kyuria told him to shut up. That was really weird.
Honestly,
I feel like Poppy has just like programmed a thing into him at this point where you tell him to shut up and it just seals his face.
Speaking of Poppy and programs, when she was talking to Pilate, she was just like standing there in default model pose. It was really jarring.
So next week, Pilate apparently sacrifices himself, and we get to see once again my favorite X-Aid form, level 1. So, yay!
I was about to say, because Paladin died, and therefore...
No,
the speculation is
that X-Aid beats Game Deus Cronus.
Because
with
every
level one.
Rider beats the final boss in first form.
Yeah.
Although, you know what really weirded me out? This whole build-up at the end of the episode with Game Deus' final form, and then we clearly immediately see Game Deus Cronus back in his human form in the preview. I'm like,
Gar,
well,
just,
way to be anticlimactic.
You know, I just realized something. Gar, you're being so much anal about X-Aid like we were being anal about Ghost. Especially me. Like, during the final episodes of Ghost, I screamed my head into a pillow. I was so mad. So you literally... This year, you and I have swapped.
I feel
that's
like this.
Funny.
I feel like this just means that Gar has shit taste in.
I mean, he likes Ryuki.
Oh, let's not go there again.
No, it's just the show should have been planned out a lot better.
Anyways, I'll get into my thoughts of X-Aid when we talk about the.
I'm just glad that next week is the final episode.
Yes, the final.
Oh, and also the best thing at the end.
Okay, no. It is the final episode story-wise,
yeah.
But we're going to have another episode like we did in Driving Ghost, where it's, where are our characters now?
And then builds in it.
It's called an epilogue.
It's not an epilogue when it's like, oh, what am I going to do after being a rider? That should be in the final episode and not its own damn thing.
Honestly, the final episode of Drive with
Ghost was a good
epilogue to the series.
I feel like in the case of this series, it needs to be its own episode because they have too many characters to pack that shit into
that,
the tail
that.
End of a finale.
That.
Good point.
Oh, you mean like Hero's dad? That magically vanished?
I mean, he'll
again.
He was
one of the turkey head zombies, I think.
Yeah. No, I did. I noticed them.
You know, the hospital director was too busy actually treating all of the patients to be
that.
In the fucking CR.
Car's done with X-Aid.
And yeah, one more thing I wanted to mention about the episode. At the end, there's an ad for the soundtracks, which we released this week, and there's a lot of tracks.
Jesus.
And you just see Dan jamming in headphones, and it was hilarious.
Yep. I loved it.
It just skates on by.
You know, I have to say, as much as I fucking hated Dan as a villain... He is so much better on the main character's side.
He's terrible as a villain, but great as a meme lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
See, I'm disagreeing with you there. I like to both as a villain and part of the main character.
No, it's just, I found with Kuroto, the point was, as a villain, at the beginning, I was okay with him, and then as he, like, descended into fucking madness, I was just like, okay, no, this is turning into absolute bullshit. This is a crappy villain. I was happy when he died, and then he came back, and I was pissed about it for a bit. And then the more I watched it, the more I was just like, you know what? I really, really like him more as the batshit insane guy making power-ups for the main characters than I ever did as a villain.
Honestly, you want to know my favorite part of Dan? When he died. Because if Masamune showed up and Dan wasn't around, every character could be like, oh shit, is the whole Kuroto is the whole Dan family just bad shit crazy?
Is the whole Dan family just evil? Find out next time.
Like, that would have been cooler if, like, Masamune showed up and he's like, father of Kuroto Dan. And they're like, oh shit.
Fucking Kuroto's grandfather shows up in the actual final episode.
I was gonna say, watch at the end of the series, Poppy dies and Dan's mom comes back and she's more evil.
I
hated being trapped in that stupid pop star! Now I'll kill you all!
Ichi, if that does happen, I will literally flip a fucking desk.
Me, I've loved Dan from start to finish.
You know, I'm not even gonna get a cake for X-Aid. Fuck it. If you guys want a cake for the finale of X-Aid, you can go.
No cakes!
Hey, you said you would, so you have to.
I ain't fucking
doing
that now.
That
money's going to freaking Guardians of the Galaxy steel case.
So speaking of
Snipe.
Speaking of Dan pre-insanity.
Yes.
Feature topic thing.
Featured topic.
Kamen Rider Snipe, episode 0, episode 2.
It's Kamen Rider Snipe, episode 2.
Taiga attempts to do his fucking Oriwa Tenkuchi Takaru.
Oh, why? Why did they do that?
I have 99 days to get my compatibility surgery so I can be a rider.
Oriwa Hanaya Taiga. Fuck!
Honestly, I wanted the show to be like this.
What, only 10 minutes an episode?
No,
10 minutes an episode, packing all the serious moments into that one episode.
Yeah. And only coming out every quarter of a year?
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen, Gar.
No, just like character-wise. It's like everybody took this thing, like, seriously.
Blood everywhere!
Pretty much.
Gamer did. Driver bloody version, now in stores!
Well, they're doctors. You expect them to get bloody.
I mean, Hiro especially. But.
Yeah, Hiro's a surgeon. Never see a thing of blood on him.
It's a kid show.
No,
why it's only in these specials.
Also, we get a scene where like Taiga, like he's like, oh fuck, I need to be the rider, and then he like goes to pick up the gamer driver, and then he like pops blood onto it, and so I was just like, premium Bandai, bloody gamer driver.
is this my blood or Maki's?
Oh yeah, Maki's in a coma.
Except not, because he wakes up.
To the sound of a gashin press.
Yo!
We did at the start of the episode get to see this really cool scene of Proto Snipe fighting a bookster union.
And then be green screen onto the actual scene.
Because
oh my God.
He was in a game world, so
sorry,
it makes sense.
Just come back to Kyurinja quickly. We didn't talk about the Yoshi Lucky Count. What's the Yoshi Lucky Counter at?
Yeah, there were 4 of them this week, so it's 225 now.
Okay.
Oh, what are the odds that episode 25 has... Or gives us a total of 225 Yoshi Lucky.
I guarantee you that was not... Yeah, it was not planned
that way. Oh, you mean how, like, at the end of Kamen Rider X-Aid will have a total of 1,337 episodes of Kamen Rider altogether?
Oh my God, I forgot about that. So, yeah. Apparently when X-Aid ends, that will be the 1,337th episode of Rider.
Elite.
Did you, like, actually count it out?
Yes. I went through every single... And I do count Z-Cross being episode 1 of his own show, not a special.
Sure.
Amazing.
Can you, like, give me those notes so I can put it on the Patreon?
I just did a calculator-wise.
Fine. So, yeah, Maki didn't die. He's in the hospital.
So yeah, pretty much Taiga's just like being Taiga and up his own ass, being like, I'm the only one who can do this.
No, my favorite scene
is the
Taiga...
origin of why he's like
no.
that. I know.
My favorite scene was Taiga basically like bitching out at Dan, being like, oh, why is Maki like this and all that? I thought he got the test. But then, you know,
Asuna.
Yeah, Asuna's like, oh, he.
Poppy, Asuna, same fucking thing.
Pop Asuna.
No.
Papasana told us that he basically failed the compatibility test. so he can't technically transform. It's because he's fat, isn't he?
Yes.
Let's all be honest. It's because he's fat.
So basically, Dan baits Taiga with, "It's all because you said no! If only you hadn't said no!"
But I love this one thing that we see Dan do in the episode, and like Raven and I were just like, we noticed that we're both like super satisfied. So like, he like does like his little evil smile, but then like as he's turning, like his expression turns and just like looking concerned. And
yeah,
I'm just,
remember
like,
this
I'm, like,
was- This was back when we had Stoneface Dan, who only showed his evil smile when the camera was on.
Yeah, so he was, that was back when he was good at, like, you know, hiding his insanity.
Which, again, like I said last week or whatever, he's a good actor.
And then it reminded me of an episode of Ouran High School Host Club, where the twins, Hikaru and Karu, basically pretend to be upset with each other until the main female lead invites them to her house, and then they immediately turn 180 and pretend it's like, oh yeah, we're just like that. We just did that just so that you can invite us to your place.
That was a really oddly specific reference to make for a fairly common trope.
Yep.
Well, so it's time to play. Which one is Hikaru game?
So then we actually get to see a Proto Snipe level one. It's freaking.
Which I mentioned, but I was about. I got cut off before I was about to say we get to see him use his, like, shooting bullet ability that he only ever used once.
He used two times. He tried using it against Genmu, but it didn't work.
Oh, okay.
I have to say meh, because it's just, I wish it was a bit different, besides just from a color palette.
Well,
eh.
It doesn't need to be different, it's the
like,
same
he shouldn't.
Power.
He shouldn't have had the flap.
No, I give kudos to the creators actually making the suit gray.
Oh, making Protoss. Yeah, because Snipe level 2 Protoss.
Instead
Protos
of just CGIing.
Turning it gray in post?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good amount of detail.
In which I also noticed, like, when he
beat. Which,
de-
is, which
like,
is really weird,
because
it would have been really easy to do that.
Oh, you mean how, like, everybody has been able to do it on camera? Or, like, with, like, just stock photos of level 2
You mean
Snipe?
Like how they did it
yeah.
in Super Mega Force, where the Dragon or Green Ranger helmet was silver on the top, and then everyone was like, no, he doesn't have silver, we don't like the silver! Okay, edit it to just have green.
Exactly.
To think, the producers had time and effort to remove the silver stripes, but they didn't have the time or money to remove...
Make a good show?
Yeah, to remove Sentai-only teams from the show.
Let's use our new legendary powers.
Or, you know, to fix the fact that Tommy showed the White Ranger helmet earlier in the episode.
Yeah, that was fucking
only
weird.
To show up as the Green Ranger.
Guys, just make him the Red Zeo Ranger. He actually,
right?
He actually that
has shit, he
those
still
powers.
Has! Yeah. No, Red Turbo Ranger, obviously.
Like, let's
that's
all
TJ.
Plainly obvious. Tommy still
the
has
the
Red
Ranger.
Zeo powers intact.
Anyways, so Saki gets brought to the hospital.
Ooh, all right.
And apparently,
bitch.
I'm like, who? And it's like, all right.
And apparently,
bitch, that one shut up.
And apparently, Saki knows Maki.
Somehow.
And then Saki.
I feel like
they met with their best friend Daki.
And they had some takoyaki.
And Saki's like, oh, I'll be okay.
Dr. Seuss Kamen Rider.
And Saki's like, oh, I'll be okay. I'm thinking about someone special. And Taiga's like, is it a boyfriend? Yeah. Well, then I definitely have to save you to make sure he's
scene
happy.
That's been in flashbacks in the actual show for a while now.
Back when I thought you were single, I didn't give a shit about you. But now that I know that someone loves you, I guess I'll try.
No, that's like the complete opposite when you're trying to go for a girl.
Oh, I know. It's like, oh, you have a boyfriend? Fuck you. I did think that was a little weird, but
oh my god, can you say, like, that thing Saki says all the time, but just switch doctor with rider instead?
Sakai da ichiban no rider ni natte!
There you go. You got the best rider in the world!
Where's my towel? Put a towel over him.
So...
You mean like a dead person on a plane?
Oh...
No, it's like with Steven Universe with hologram Pearl, they just put a blanket over her.
No, it's like in Commando when, like, he kills the assassin on the plane that's, like, escorting him, and then he's just like, please don't disturb my friend, he's dead tired.
You know, the funny part about that is that's actually what airlines do when there's a dead body on the plane.
That's fucked
up. They wrap them in a blanket, put some peanuts on the table in front of them, make it look like they're just enjoying them.
That's awful!
Because what the fuck else are they gonna do
with
someone?
Oh my god, there's a dead person on the plane!
I have an idea. We chuck their body outside the plane.
Hey, at least it's not the New York subway. Hey, least it's not the New York subway system.
Oh, no.
Someone dies on a train, they shove it into the closest room they can until the police come to find it. which includes employee break rooms.
Oh.
And bathrooms.
America.
Walk in for a coffee.
So what if someone dies in a McDonald's, they just hide them in the bathroom stall?
No, that's a different story. That's a food place. Okay. They actually need that dealt with professionally immediately.
They sit him down at one of the tables so that it looks like someone's eating there.
In McDonald's, I've dealt with 3 medical emergencies.
I thought you were going to say I've dealt with 3 dead bodies.
I remember at
no, that's the Tim Hortons down the street.
No, seriously.
He died?
What?
Again?
Yeah, right?
No.
It's like, what? He died? Again? I'm sitting at the drive-thru just like, oh, okay.
Going here again.
Just that moment where I realize, oh, I think I get it. There's 2 fucking seniors buildings immediately next to this building. How many old people walk into this Tim Hortons for a coffee and die?
That's a sermon.
I'm just like, that's probably a common thing.
It's so, like that time at my work when we thought somebody was dead, and it's like, oh no, he's just like in a really deep sleep. He was sleeping there for a good 15 minutes, so we actually had to wake him up.
So anyways, Taiga tries to be Protoss Knight, but gets buggled and wakes up next to Maki in bed. I guess this is just the room that's gotta be labeled Rider failures.
And then Maki and Taiga are fighting over, oh no, I should be sniped. No, I should be sniped. And then Maki actually tries to become sniped and he disappears.
That is so sad.
Yeah.
Because it's like the belt doesn't immediately drop, it hangs there like in the air for a bit.
As if the belt and gadget were just on strings.
And then it just.
And then you realize, oh, he probably just got uploaded into the Bang Bang Shooting.
Now that we know that, yeah.
Yeah, so Maki's going to come back at the end.
If he comes back at the end, I will be pissed.
What?
Except this is a well-established thing they've already brought up.
Exactly.
But here's the thing.
Anyone who's died because of game disease hasn't actually died. They've been uploaded into the proto-gash.
But here's the thing, though, Raven. This Kamen Rider Snipe miniseries is a Blu-ray exclusive. So if you haven't gotten the Blu-rays, you're going to be like,
who the fuck's that guy?
Yeah, it's like, who's that guy?
The best way they can do it is literally just when all of the people come back, there's just going to be this crowd shot of all of the people who came back. And no, we won't know who the vast majority of these people are. And Maki is just going to be in the middle of it.
I have the absolute perfect precedent to argue in favor of Maki coming back.
Okay.
Dot Hack Quarantine.
What the fuck does that mean?
In the Dot Hack the Dot Hack are a video game series that involve people falling into comas and coming back at the end of it. In the Dot Hack Liminality side special movies, which were packaged with the games, there was a character named Sieg who fell into a coma. And at the end of the video games, in Quarantine Volume 4, when everyone starts coming back, Sieg shows up. And if you hadn't watched Liminality, you'd have no idea who he is. But that's the point of a multimedia franchise.
The point is, he will be there. They won't like probably specifically address who he is, but he'll be in the
shop.
They'll probably nod at each other.
And then he'll be in the epilogue.
You know what it will be? If Taiga does get his license back, he's going to be leaning on the wall, seeing Poppy as a nurse in training, because chances are that's what she'll probably become.
You mean Nico.
Yeah, Nico. And then you just see Maki just show up beside him, and they're just chit-chatting like good old times.
Doctor partners.
Yeah, and all the viewers are going to be like, who the fuck's that?
And that's how they'll sell the Snipe episodes.
Yeah, by paying $200.
And then while that's happening, you just have Hemu and Hiro walk up. It's like, who's that? Oh, it's an old friend of Taiga's. Oh, okay.
And that'll be it.
And quick explanation that will satisfy everyone wondering who the fuck is that guy who hasn't watched the specials, but everyone who has watched the specials will know.
Exactly.
It'd be a nice nod to it. Actually saying, hey, if you want to know who this guy is, go watch the Blu-ray specials.
The scenario you just purported would be more than what they did for Sieg, because when Sieg showed up at the end of Quarantine, just like, hey, I'm back, and they didn't even take time to explain who Sieg was, so you had to have watched Liminality, or else you had no idea.
Unless it's like an Obi-Wan Darth Vader backstory thing, where it's like later on, oh, Obi-Wan explains that Anakin was Vader, and then Obi-Wan's like, so what I told you was true, just from a certain point of view.
A certain point of view?
So anyways...
Luke, you're gonna have to understand that things aren't that clear in this universe.
So anyways, the point is, there's absolutely precedent for that to happen. Next episode of Snipe, Tyga loses his license and says, fuck it, and goes to fight Graphite.
Yep. And it's like, Blu-ray comes out October.
And here I always thought he lost his license because he
also Pallad was there.
Okay.
Yeah, Pallad spied on him for 5 seconds at best.
Because he did that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. And that's the episode. Thank you, Doritos, for filling in for Emily.
You are crunchy and delicious.
Oh, wow. Okay, so apparently my dad went to Timmy's and somebody thought he was me.
Oh.
That's kind of sad.
Gar, yeah. I want you to do me one favor. I want you to eat one Dorito.
No.
Just one. No, apparently he really hates Doritos, so I want
Reach
you to eat one Dorito.
Deep inside.
One Dorito.
No.
They're kind of stale.
That too.
Gar, eat the Dorito.
I can hear how stale they are.
Yeah, right? I had a couple before we started. It was like, oh.
Thank you, Gar, for eating the Dorito.
That wasn't eating the Dorito.
That wasn't me! I didn't eat it! You're just getting carried away. I didn't eat the Dorito!
Just cue scene.
Fake news.
I didn't eat it. I didn't.
That's bullshit. I did not.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Raven.
Oh, hi, Mark. I want to watch that James Franco movie.
Oh, The Disaster Artist?
Yeah.
Where it's based on the making of The Room?
Yeah, I'm surprised Tommy Wiseau's allowing this.
I think it
was... He's a fucking narcissistic piece of
no,
shit.
No, but he also hates anyone insulting him on
maybe,
his work.
Maybe they sold it to him that it was a genuine tribute.
Problem is, it's probably not
someone,
that far from the truth.
And then someone
of what
took
happened.
Both James Franco and Tommy Wiseau's performance of that scene simultaneously, and it was, like, almost perfect. I did not.
I need something to tell us.
Nope, we're done.
I didn't know.
I did not.
Ow, my foot.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That was my foot.
Oh, hi, Gar.
Anyways.
AJ, take us out.
Thank you all for listening.
No, I mean, like, take us out to dinner.
That's tomorrow, damn it.
Oh, fuck you guys. I'm at work tomorrow.
This was deliberate.
Because I'm
black. Play video games.
What?
What did he say?
He said it's because I'm black. Because he's black. What the fuck?
No, that's Kevin.
Yeah. Well, he's not black anymore. Now he's shadow.
Mike.
Larry's not white. Larry's clear.
Kevin first met Mike, he thought he was Mexican, but he's actually Filipino.
That's because we were going on Skype the entire time. About how our buddy Mike was Mexican, because that was the joke.
Girl, who's this Filipino guy behind us? It's Mike!
He is.
That's Mike?
He's a Mike?
I thought he was Mexican!
He's Mexican?
What the fuck?
Anyways! Thank you all for listening.
Go follow me on at Lane.
For more racist shit. Racist neo-Nazi bullshit.
Hail the Galactic Empire!
White Power Ranger.
Charlottesville was a shit show.
Anyway,
we're not going there.
Everybody.
Thank you all for listening. As always, our hub site is castranger.podbean.com. That's where you can find the primary source of our hijinks. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/rscastranger.
World War II was an inside job.
Fucking do not go
I'm just
there.
Kidding. I'm
guys,
just kidding.
Guys, let's just make Trump king.
Tweet at us at Ixie
really
Studios. Check out our Discord, and we have merchandise and... Despite the fact that you've been so fucking argumentative this whole episode, this week's shirt is yellow Caster Emblem.
Oh.
Pink Caster went out last week.
Oh.
H, can you buy me a shirt? I'm broke.
When's your birthday?
January.
Oh.
Did
you just pat Gar's tummy?
I smacked his tummy.
That was a pat.
Whatever.
Anyways. Yeah, yellow caster shirt will go out when this episode goes out, and it'll be on sale for the first 72 hours.
Yeah, this there you go, Gar, save yourself some money and buy your own fucking shirt.
I'm gonna be so cheap, I don't buy my own shirt. I'm gonna buy Raven's shirt.
I bought his already! For him!
He's gonna buy a red caster shirt for himself.
I'm the new red caster.
Sometime in the future, when we're, like, decently famous... We need to walk in just wearing each other's shirts, colors. Just confuse people.
Hi, everybody. I'm Blue Caster.
No, me and Emily just need to switch shirts, and they won't know the difference.
No one will take that line out of context.
Right?
Giggity.
So, we will see you all next week. Bye-bye!
Go watch Defenders, out now on Netflix.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.